everybody. It's good old JR Jim Ross, a member of multiple Halls of Fame and the voice of AEW Wrestling. And you're listening to Bad Medicine Podcast. You're going to like it.
Testing. Ladies and gentlemen, we are once again coming to you live from the 13th live. Floor of Nakatomi Plaza. We are broadcasting from the Wayland Corporation Studios, overlooking the crystal clear waters of Lake Winnebago. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Bad Medicine Podcast. My name is Mason Quinn. To my far left, icy roads equals people who can't drive, Diamond Dave Damone.
You know it.
And to my immediate left, the guy who just found out the hand sanitizer is very stinky, the guy who thought he could take a little vacation from the podcast, the Appleton Oak Man of 1,000 poses, Dave Bay. And to my right, the guy who's still trying to finish that Taco Bell he ordered the last time you listened, The Answer.
Oh, man, $46. You spent $46 at Taco Bell?
You don't listen to the
podcast? You don't listen to the product? I missed your bit on Taco Bell.
He fast forwards.
What do you mean you spent $46 at Taco Bell?
Me and my girl, we had a Saturday fun day, and we decided
they're
under the bus again.
How many people was this for?
Dos.
All right, so we're going to do this right away, and we're kicking this off hot and early, okay?
Personal stuff, that's what it's about.
So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a poll, and I don't know if that we've ever done a poll within the first 2 minutes of kicking off the podcast. Two people, okay? Or even one, because this could be fun. What is the most money you've ever spent, either for yourself or you and another person, at Taco Bell? What is an obnoxious amount of money for one person or two people at Taco Bell? Because I feel like $46 at Taco Bell for two people is getting pretty up there, because I eat a lot and I have gone on some – Taco Bell used to sell the things of like 10 tacos, but I think it was always for like $12. And I'm trying to think of a time – where I've ever spent more than $20 at Taco Bell, and I can't remember. So to all of our listeners, what is the most, one people, two people, three people, whatever, you went to a party and got $500 worth of Taco Bell, what is the most you've ever spent at Taco Bell? We want to hear it.
Well, there's the list right there. You know, steak quesadilla, Crunchwrap Supreme, beefy five-layer burrito, quesarito, three soft taco supremes, Cinnabon Delight 12-pack, three more soft taco like supreme
multiple
and
meals.
Nachos Bel Grande.
Was this something that you consumed consistently over the course of like 8 hours, or did you guys sit down and just go?
Were you high?
We sat down and...
It's going to be legal soon.
We weren't high. We were drunk.
Oh, God.
Slight difference.
Another poll. What's worse, eating Taco Bell when you're drunk or high?
Would you spend more at Taco Bell when you're
Taco
drunk
Bell
or
when sober?
When you're high, or when you're sober, or when you're sad, or if you're going to like a sports party? Dobber and I, Dobber's sitting in the studio here. Pizza has always been like our go-to, just because you can grab like a handful of pizzas for like our wrestling and our football games and stuff like that. But Taco Bell, like if Taco Bell had like an obnoxious deal, like you roll in and like, hey, 50 tacos for $20. I would do Taco Bell for a party.
That'd be so much fun. But the next morning, the next morning, as I was snow blowing, she was cleaning up the disaster of Taco Bell, and she figures about 30% of it was consumed.
You guys only so you only ate a third of it, which is kind of funny. Because dude, Taco Bell. Oh God, who am I lying? Taco Bell. I was gonna say Taco Bell doesn't reheat good. I'm not gonna lie to you people. I've reheated to you people.
As long as you don't have the lettuce for the potatoes,
Reheated Taco Bell. You know what actually isn't bad is the pizzazz like spinning pizza oven. Those things are good.
They just
threw mine away. That thing was like 15 years old.
I thought you were sending her to finishing school. What's she doing?
How much did you pay for this? I don't know, like $40. How long ago? I don't know, like 15 years. It had like a layer of like burnt stuff that you couldn't get off. I'm talking like magic erasers, like Brillo pads.
She doesn't want you to turn into Richard Phillips. That's what it is. She's afraid you're going to start keeping stuff. If you want to hear more great stories like this, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe to the page. The details are in the box below. Let's hear your comments. Bang that bell. Smash that subscribe button. You'll get all of our great content.
The likes are free.
We'll get another good Richard Phillips story in here sometime soon. Maybe about his insane gun purchases and how he'll spend all the money on guns and then buy like a $4 Chinese optic for
his it's a Vortex. What do you mean?
Vortex isn't cheap. Dude, Vortex
they're $20 scopes.
Dude, the Vortex red dots are anywhere between like $200 and $350.
We'll talk.
Vortex's quality has come up. They're not nice. Night Force or Loopold or you know
Bushnell.
Vortex and Bushnell are on the same plane. If you're going to sit here with a straight face and try to tell me that Bushnell is better than Vortex, I will slap
you. Let's hear your comments below. Who's better?
What he said.
Or that Bushnell's better than Vortex. Vortex is every bit as good. And it's made in Wisconsin. So
I've got sheepskull. China.
Wait, are we still talking guns?
Optics. What's the next topic on the page there? My sunglasses are red.
Super Bowl. There was a football game on yesterday. Tom Brady has got 7 rings. He now has more Super Bowl rings than any franchise in NFL history. More than the Patriots. More than the 49ers. More than
the Steelers and Patriots are both at 6. Tom has more
Packers
7
more championships.
10 games he's been 13. To the 10 times he's been to the big game. Ironically, he's lost to the two biggest. Like, he would have lost to Rex Grossman if he had played against
the NFL.
Grossman.
Would have rigged it for him to lose against Rex Grossman.
We'll get into the NFL rigging
it.
He's
not stopping until he gets 10.
7, he's not getting 10.
Yes, he will.
I suppose people are like, he's not getting 7, but 10. 10's pushing.
I'm thinking he at least wants 8 so he can double Montana.
Quinn, you guys weren't here yet, but Quinn, explain why you think he's going to get 10.
Yeah, because I was telling Diamond Dave about this all through the week. I was saying Tom Brady's not going to stop until he gets 10 rings because he's not getting hit. He's incredibly healthy. He can still zip the ball. So let's take the retirement issue off the table because that's not a problem. He's with a winning team who, as Diamond Dave told me, their star players are already talking about taking pay cuts. Keep the team together.
Robert and I were talking
about
that earlier.
I don't see any reason that this guy doesn't have at least 5 more years in him, and I wouldn't bet against Tom Brady going to the Super Bowl 3 times in 5 years.
I don't want to doubt Tom Brady, and I feel dumb yesterday because my prediction for the game was that Tampa Bay was going to score 31, so I nailed that actually on the head. I also said Kansas City was going to score 42.
Well, yeah.
Who had Mahomes for 0 touchdowns in the Super Bowl? I mean, like, there is nobody.
Kidding.
There's plenty of people who predicted Tampa was going to win.
Anybody did that prop bet? There's touchdowns for Mahomes.
There's people that
hit huge.
Yeah, hit huge.
Well, they didn't make news, so I assume nobody.
No, nobody was going to bet that. But it was an incredible football game to watch. I mean, it wasn't this high scoring shootout, but watching Tampa Bay's defense and Andrew, I will say this. I think Tom Brady performed brilliantly, but let's not lie. The real MVPs of that game were the defensive coordinator and, I said front four. I'm like, give the front four. And people are like, what about the 2 middle linebackers and the D-backs? Like, look, the entire defense. But that front four, they said on ESPN today that Patrick Mahomes ran nearly 500 yards.
497.
497 before throwing passes. And the majority of that was backwards. Now, I understand that Tampa
he was throwing balls. Like, he'd be jumping sideways, and he was throwing balls, and they were hitting his receivers in the
helmets.
Yeah,
I mean, look, I'm not going to take anything away from Patrick Mahomes. And look, he's a phenomenal athlete. I think he's great. He's young. I would bet that he'll be back to the Super Bowl, something I want to get to in a minute on that. But look, it was a fun game to watch. And sometimes when a game is that one-sided, it seems like it's a little bit boring. You know, the old Niners versus the Chargers, 55-10.
Total destruction.
It sucks. You know, but it was such an interesting game watching a team that was 11-5. And look, Tampa didn't exactly light teams up
all year long. They lost to the Bears, for Pete's sake. They got
19-20.
You know, I mean, so
by Nick Foles.
By Nick Foles. Tom Brady just can't get past Nick Foles. Big Nick. But no, I thought it was a fun game. And I was over at Dobber's house. We've watched a Super Bowl now, I don't know, 10 years in a row. It's kind of become tradition. But I thought it was regardless of whether Tom Brady won or not, I thought it was going to be a fun game to watch, just because I think Patrick Mahomes is really fun, and any game he's in, I think, is entertaining. But
passes are more entertaining than a majority of the NFL quarterbacks in the NFL.
I mean, what did you think of that? Did you find it to be an enjoyable game?
Yeah. So I know a lot of people, it was boring. I didn't think it was boring because, one, I love seeing defenses being able to crush this new style of football where the quarterback and the offense have the advantage.
Man, those flags. There.
And Devin White, Andrew and I were saying this since like week 4.
Well,
he's our guy.
I wanted us to draft him, but unfortunately he went 2 picks or 3 picks before us at Tampa Bay, because I knew he was going to be a stud. He runs a 4.5 40 as a middle linebacker.
I was telling this to
Quinn.
Didn't
they say like a 4.4
yeah,
6 might, or something?
Yeah.
Now, they said like
four, four, a slow, yeah, slow day. Yeah, so 4.5.
To be fair, how many athletic freaks have we seen come out who just fall on their face? You got to be able to play the game.
They're not linebackers. Linebackers.
But also the thing was, though, is pairing him with a Levante David. That helps a lot, because you have an old vet that can show him the ropes and teach him everything. I mean, who knows, if you'd have came to Green Bay, it was Blake Martinez going to make him what he is
what
right
he
now.
Is right now.
Well, and the reason why I say it, Quinn and I, again, we're talking pre-pro here. With that defense, so we said in the playoffs this year, it showed you have it to have a good to great quarterback. And you have to have a great defense to win, because defense clearly still wins championships, because they shut down Pat Mahomes. And if you have a front four like Tampa does, that can just
like
go
the New
after
York Giants had,
like the New York
the
Giants had, where they
with
can just
Pierre
go
Ball.
After, yeah,
yep.
With JPP,
he got skinny.
That can go after the quarterback like they did. Granted, now you could say, yeah, two tackles were out and a guard was out.
That does
clearly
hurt.
You do need a line, yeah. But now look, speed backers is what I'm trying to get to. Yeah. Quinn and I were talking, like, if you have linebackers that are doing a 4-4, dude, your two safeties, as long as you stay in cover two, you just keep everything in front and let everyone fly.
I will say this, and this is the one thing that I was most impressed about with Tampa Bay's defensive line, and we've seen a million games where Patrick Mahomes, you know, gets around and runs for 15, 20,
he gets
30, 40 yards. He got the corner a couple times earlier on in the game. And what you started to notice, and look, I'm not a football analyst, and it doesn't take one to notice this. You saw
– so modest.
So here's Patrick Mahomes, and he's in the backfield coming out like this. And you have Tampa's defensive lineman here. And instead of trying to chase him down – Tampa's defensive linemen, the second Mahomes started making his way to the outside, they went for an angle. They went for we're going to give him 5 to 7 yards. And we saw that happen over and over. Defensive linemen pursuing Mahomes. Oh, Mahomes is going to round. Lineman cuts and takes that angle. Yep. And all of a sudden, like these big 15, 20, and look, we've seen Mahomes, like as soon as he gets around that corner, it could be 30 yards every time. And he was getting those earlier on in the game. And the defensive linemen and the linebackers from Tampa Bay did an incredible job of, look, I'm not gonna chase him down, but I am going to cut and take the angle, and we're only going to take a 5-yard L on this. And the next play, look, we get an incomplete pass and shut down. Now we're talking 3 and outs and stuff like that. The defensive line from Tampa – it was incredible.
The big thing they did is they never fell for any of the screens. It seemed like none of their screens ever worked.
Who would have thought? I mean,
with
Patrick,
JPP is like, oh, this was easier than usual, so I'll stop. All right, I know there's a screen coming.
Who would have thought they would shut down window dressing.
Tyreek Hill.
Who would have thought they shut down Hill the way
Why didn't they do any misdirection with him?
I mean, Hill was just murdering people all year long, and this is the thing that we talked about.
Cover two, Dave. So when that cover two. And they did it. I'm not an analyst here. They did a good job explaining
it.
When you have the cover two with the two safety high, you fade that one safety on that side of the field that Tyreek is in, and then you got that cover that cover corner that's on him. So technically, you got two guys.
Learned that from Tony Romo, who, by the way, is doing a great job as an analyst.
Because it's always been in cover two, especially with Tampa Bay. There's always the windows that are open.
Right.
So here's an interesting thing that
I'm not just saying it because he's here in the studio, that Dauber brought up last night. And this is something that I would like to ask the people watching from Mr. Dobson. A handful of years ago, we saw Colin Kaepernick just dismantling defenses, right?
Mostly the Packers.
Yeah, a lot of defenses, though, but especially the Packers. And it seemed like once teams got him figured out, he wasn't anywhere near as dangerous before. And Dauber made the comment last night when we were watching the game. He said, how many teams next year or in the offseason are going to be watching this Super Bowl and watching the defensive strategy? Now, and granted, not all the teams have the same kind of talent that Tampa Bay has, don't have the personnel, and maybe don't have the coaching. But is there a possibility that in a game like this where you watch a defense dismantle Patrick Mahomes, granted he didn't have his offensive linemen and stuff like that, is this setting up for the slowing down of Mahomes if defenses start figuring him out? Because Kaepernick had a couple of years where he was doing this. Now, Mahomes has had how many years in the league where he's kind of, you know, running around people? Are we going to see defenses start to really adjust and shut him down?
Your thoughts, answer?
No, because you have Andy Reid is always ever evolutionizing his offense.
A word, but I love it.
he's been doing it since he was with Green Bay with Holmgren through the early sucky years in Philly to hold Donovan McNabb, to even pass Donovan McNabb, to now a whole new team. He even got to the playoffs with Alex Smith. Thanks. That's always a fun to bring up. But, he's always good at adapting, and he will continue to adapt. And, I mean, they got Tyreek Hill was, a six-round pick, so they'll be able to find their gems in the draft again.
Quinn?
I don't know if it's so much they've figured out Showtime Mahomes, because I think he's a much greater player than these guys we've seen, whether it's RG3, Colin Kaepernick, Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson, I think has figured out. I think he's average at best now.
It's because you want McSorley.
I do. He's a winner. That's why he's a Big Ten quarterback. Start them all. But what I think will happen is I think the Chiefs in general will sort of be figured out. And guys, the Super Bowl hangover is a real thing. I told Diamond Dave, I don't think they're going to win 10 games next season because there's other teams coming back healthy that were not healthy this year. That's going to be a big difference. It's not going to be cruising through the AFC.
What do you think, Dave?
Well, I'm not going to go that route that Quinn did, but with my thoughts is you'll slow him down just a bit, but he is way too talented of a quarterback, and I will go to that Superman sidearm, still hit the guy.
That's pretty good.
Hit the guy in the hand.
Yeah, Mahomes is a pretty incredible athlete, and I'm not putting him in the same category as the guys you listed, Kaepernick, RG3.
Oh, I'm saying he's better.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's better than they are. Now, the one thing I will say.
Hold on, let me finish.
Go.
And then, with Kaepernick, I mean, you just cut me off. So you asked me a question, and then you just gave me 2 seconds.
There's my pen.
But also, to Andrew's point with Andy Reid, yes, Andy Reid will still come up with some new plays. It was one game where they did that to the Buccaneers.
It's a big game.
And it was a very big game. They did that to the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers did it back. Todd Bowles is a genius when it comes to defenses. He knows when to pick and part.
They just made sure they need a run.
I wish Andy Reid would implement a little bit more of a run game, but.
Well, since the tackles were bad, they knew they could do the four, so that's why they could always play the two high safety zone too.
Yeah,
that was the big thing that crushed them in regular season.
Shut down the run game.
He'll get in the big bombs.
Yeah. Pin your ears back, kill the quarterback.
Here's the question that I want to ask, and this is going to be a sore one for Packer fans. But I got to ask this question. Now, after the Super Bowl, everybody's saying, Tony Romo's saying it on TV, all the announcers are saying it, we're sure to see Patrick Mahomes back in the big game. He's a young quarterback. Look how talented is. Look his coaches. Look who he's got around him. He's going to be back in the Super Bowl. You know, Quinn, I feel like I've heard that before.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
About a guy who's a really good quarterback. He plays for in 2010.
20 miles up that way.
Everybody. Rodgers is going to be back in a Super Bowl. Hey, they made it back to the NFC Championship and they lost. And again, lost. 10 years later, Rodgers hasn't made it back to a Super Bowl. So
I am not – look, if I had to bet on it, I would say, yes, Mahomes is going back to a Super Bowl. But excuse me if I have a little bit of personal
– yeah.
Where, like, hey, look, there's no guarantees just because you have a really talented quarterback. Nope. Now, granted, I don't want to put Andy Reid in the same category as no low football IQ.
What are you talking about, Earl?
I don't want to put those guys.
Let's just get one thing straight right here, right now. I'm an exceptional.
I don't want to put those guys in the same category, and I think the Chiefs are putting.
Speaks for itself.
I think the Chiefs are putting better people around Mahomes than the Packers have been able to do with Rodgers. But look, there's no guarantees. And I can say this from personal experience as a Packers fan. There's no guarantees that just because you have a stellar quarterback, you're going back to the big game. It's been 10 years. Green Bay has had elite quarterbacks, two three-time MVPs for the last 30 years.
13.
And we've been to the Super Bowl.
Three times.
Three times.
I just think you look at
a third of the amount of times as Tom Brady.
I could probably look at the greatest pure quarterback probably to ever play the game, Dan Marino, one time. That's it. Never got back. That's a travesty, and he played for a long time.
Real quick, I'm going to go to Dave's question there. We cannot assume that the Chiefs are going to pull a Green Bay Packers and throw it all on Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs have been giving in to the weapons that they need on offense. They do need to focus a little on defense, but they're not going to pull a Green Bay and just be like, well, it's all Rodgers.
I hope not, because I personally would love to see Patrick Mahomes. Like, I really like him. He is a fun football player. He's easy to like. You know, his mom and his fiance decided they would take the Twitter, which I really wasn't happy with, because Patrick Mahomes is very well respected by everybody. He's a young kid with obscene amounts of money and very talented. He keeps his nose out of the drama. He's very likable. State Farm commercials are great. You know, his fiance and his mom are out there throwing his mom's throwing shade at Giselle. What? Mom, put Twitter down, Mom. You know,
the good news is they met with Tom Brady's parents after the game. Yeah. So it wasn't like
totally.
It wasn't total shade, but it was shade.
When you're in the NFL family, though, it's a little different. So, when you're all at that level, it's a little bit
I want to talk a little bit about the halftime show here, but I am going to talk, and we'll try to keep it short for my rants about the Tom Brady stuff, because as always, I have seen just endless stupid comments on Tom Brady and how the NFL wants him to win, which I've dismantled so many people on this. And look, you're literally making clowns of yourself if you're saying the NFL wants Tom Brady to win, so the refs are cheating for him, yada, yada, yada. Stop. Please stop. And if you are going to continue, and I had a friend of mine that I go all the way back to college with, and he's like, oh, it's rigged. And I'm like, when did it start? Wait, where year did it start? Did they want him to win his first
Super Bowl? Yes, because the opening thing that they said when they won the Super Bowl is, in the year of 9/11, it's great to be a Patriot, and the Patriots have won the Super Bowl. This guy's
still on board. Okay, so the NFL,
that's my only argument.
The NFL wanted Tom Brady to win, yet there was 3 years against Eli Manning and Nick Foles where they didn't want Tom Brady to win those years. There were other years where they didn't want Tom Brady even in the Super Bowl.
And it's like, drag him in front of Congress? NFL,
it's like, okay, so when you're saying he hasn't gone to the Super Bowl every year, so the NFL wants him there sometimes, and they want him to win sometimes, and I'm going to keep doing my air quotes because it's as stupid as all your arguments. But, well, you know what? Maybe it would be good if Tom went this year and won, but not next year, and then next year and lost, but then the next year. And did they want Eli Manning to come this close to getting sacked and throwing up the biggest wing and a prayer pass in Super Bowl history, and Tyree caught it on the top of his helmet? Did the NFL want that? You just sound so dumb when you say the NFL wants Brady to win. Look, Brady could have taken probably a bigger payday and gone to a lot of other teams. And look, I'm not – Andrew and I, we've jokingly gone back and forth on the system quarterback thing. Look, there's a lot of teams that Brady probably could have made more money, and he absolutely would not have gone to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Jacksonville needed a
quarterback. Brady wasn't just taking any team to the Super Bowl. So I'm not going to put this – all on Tom Brady. And the NFL had no control over where he went. Look, the NFL, look, if somebody can show me statistics saying in the years where Brady is in the Super Bowl, the ratings are here. And so the CBS and the NFL can make X amount more dollars by Tom Brady being in the Super Bowl. And you can show me specific dollar amounts that the NFL is making more money having Tom Brady in the Super Bowl than they wouldn't otherwise, maybe I'll start listening to your arguments. And then, along with those arguments, tell me when they wanted him to start winning. Because the team was named the Patriots in 9/11, the NFL sat down, and we're going to have these guys win, you know? Well, we don't want anybody else winning. Was it after his second win or his third win? Hey, you know what, dude? We like this guy. We want a clean-cut, all-American guy. But not every year. But a few years, he's going to go and he's still going to lose. But when he loses, it's got to be real to a real mouth breather. We can't have him lose to a good quarterback. Like, who?
Hey,
who,
Eli is one year.
Here's Goodell sitting back there. You know what we should have Brady do? You know what I want? I want him to go to a Super Bowl and get down 28-3 with like 2 minutes left in the third quarter and then come back and win. That's what we want. Think about how dumb you actually sound when you say that the NFL wants him to win. When you break it down, what year did they start wanting him to win? What about the years he didn't go to the Super Bowl? What about the years he won and lost? What about the people he lost to? What about the years that, I don't know, that he went and had crazy comebacks that you couldn't really script? What about, give me explanations. If you're going to say something as dumb as the NFL wants Tom Brady to win, don't just say, oh, look at the refs, because look, every team loves the refs. And Andrew, I know you don't want to hear this, and I know my friends the Packer fans, I live 20 miles south of Lambeau Field, okay? Packer fans, and most of my friends outside of Wisconsin will agree with me. The way that Packer fans look at Tom Brady, oh, he's arrogant and he's smug, and the refs throw flags for him. Every other team looks at Aaron Rodgers like that. Every other team does. Every other fan base thinks Rodgers is cocky and a crybaby, and he gets flags thrown for him. Because I know it, because every time the Packers play somewhere, I've got friends all over the country, and they complain about how much the refs cheat for Aaron Rodgers. Yet here we have Packer fans. Now, should Rodgers have more rings than Brady from an athletic standpoint? Probably. Don't worry. This is the quick version, okay? This is the quick version of this rant. Dobber knows that, okay? And Packer fans, if it was Aaron Rodgers who had seven rings or six with the Green Bay Packers, you wouldn't be, one of my idiot friends, who I love you, dude, we've known each other since we were 16, was like, well, I saw one NFL analyst said, I do love you, so I call you an idiot, and like I would call you a douchebag, whatever, it's all good.
Brother.
One NFL analyst said if they had reffed the Packers-Tampa game the way they reffed the Super Bowl, the Packers would have won and gone to the Super Bowl. Okay, fair. That's a great argument. What about the three other losses that the Packers had that weren't to Tom Brady? Did the NFL want the Packers to lose to the Niners? Did the NFL want the other teams to beat the Packers? Like, shut up.
Parody.
If you're going to come up with a stupid-ass comment like Tom Brady is what the NFL wanted in the Super Bowl, have some statistics. When did it start? Show me the dollar amounts where Tom Brady versus other years. Have an argument. Don't just be an idiot because you sound like a complete asshole.
Let me add to your bit there with this stat. I'm not going to add to the rant. I'm just going to add to this. So 2005 was the third title for the New England Patriots. The next time the Patriots go to the Super Bowl is 2015.
Wait a minute. So the Patriots didn't even the Patriots didn't go to the Super Bowl.
The next time they won.
The NFL wanted Tom Brady to take a 10-year break from winning Super Bowls. That's what the NFL wanted. They wanted him to win in 2005 and not win another game for 10 years. That was the NFL's big plan for Tom Brady. You guys are morons, clowns, idiots. Get your heads out of your asses. I don't care whether you're a Packer fan or another fan. If you're whining, the NFL wants Tom Brady to win. It's rigged. It's a conspiracy theory. It's reffing. Shut up. You're making yourself sound like a moron. And, oh, Dave, why are you so angry? Because the level of stupidity. It would be like if 50% of my Facebook friends went out and said, no, Dave, the grass is really red. I'm like, no, it's not red. Go look again, you stupid asshole. It's green.
Hey, and just so you know, in that 10 years, the two losses were to Eli Manning.
Oh, boy, yeah, because the NFL really wanted the lesser of the Manning brothers.
He wears the sweater better.
The mouth breather. That's the guy they wanted taking down Tom Brady. It was the NFL's way to show people that just because you're rich and handsome and good-looking, you don't get your way in life. So the NFL was teaching Tom Brady a lesson, and they gave David Tyree extra stickum for his helmets and his hands. It's a stupid argument. You know what? The system quarterback argument is 1,000 times better than the NFL wanted Tom Brady to win, because at least you can throw me, I don't know, some shit. Dobber pointed out, hey, look, Tom Brady's first Super Bowl, he had a pretty stellar defense, and there was years where he had pretty stellar defenses. You couldn't run on Vince Wilfork. The guy was 500 pounds and took up half of the defensive line.
Of his winning teams didn't have a defense worse than, what, seventh in the league or
there
something?
There we go.
You looked it up?
System quarterback, for as dumb as the system quarterback argument is, it's still 1,800 times less dumber than the other argument.
That's why I always said, too, having Belichick have 2 weeks to prepare for a Super Bowl always helped.
Yeah. Well, and if you're, you know, if you're going to say it's rigged, at least point to something like the NBA where you can prove it. Like, hey, yeah, the refs are on the take, and LA is a big market. That's who they want to win. That has a little bit more credibility.
Tampa Bay. Yeah,
I don't know. In that last episode after the Packers lost, you were saying it was a conspiracy.
It probably was.
If any team's quarterback had 6 Super Bowl rings, that team would not be saying it was a conspiracy. I said yesterday, look, I think Aaron Rodgers, as far as physical talent and athleticism, I can make a pretty strong argument that he's better than Tom Brady. I think Tom's a better leader.
Yeah, maybe a leader and a winner, and that's what matters.
And he's been on better all-around teams with better coaching. You can't make the argument that Rodgers has better coached teams than Brady, because I'll punch you in the face.
Are you
for that
calling
too
out low football IQ, Mike McCarthy?
Oh, we're up by 14. Let's run the prevent starting in the second quarter. Oh well, now we're down by 14 and we're screwed.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Aaron Rodgers, because the one thing I want Andrew to pull up, I sent it to your email so you can pull it up on that screen.
Are we going into that topic?
You didn't send it to my email.
Yeah, I did. Andrew.lizaway@gmail.com.
Oh yeah, just throw it out there for the masses.
You don't want, you're worried about people blowing up your email.
that would be something.
So there should be
tell Andrew what you think about
right there. Boom. So look at this.
Pop up.
This is from
what did you order from?
What's that? OnlyFans?
Please make that big. Look at this. This is the Packers 2020 draft.
Oh God!
On how much this contributed?
Look at this. Look at this. 2020 draft picks. Round 1, Jordan Love, 0 snaps. Round 2, AJ Dillon, 286 yards. Round 3, Josh DeGuara, 12 receiving yards, played 2 games. Round 5.
Or his ACL.
Come on. Well, still, we're just talking stats. 17 tackles, 1 sack, 6-6-7, 6-6-6.
Those are all road grading riding the bench.
No games. We had Vernon Scott, made 11 tackles, and Jonathan Garvin. So, so we have, 13? We have 30 tackles total. We have 4 guys who never played a game.
Under 300 yards of offense.
We had under 300 yards of offense. So I would say, all in all, pretty solid draft, you assholes.
So the point here I want to make, and Quinn and I, Quinn actually brought up a good point, that the draft, does it really, really, it matters, but how much?
Clearly, couldn't have said it any better myself, Dave.
It worked pretty well when we got
– go ahead, Quinn, take it away.
So my point is, for all the talk and all the worry and all the hype that people have about the draft, the point that I made to Diamond Dave is, I could give 2 shits about the draft. If there's some proven players out there, like if White would somehow magically and impossibly become available from Tampa Bay, I would give up my entire draft to Tampa Bay for that one player. I would say take him, because you know what? What are you getting anyways? Give me a proven commodity.
Quinn, you brought up a great point. Andrew, you're probably the most intelligent football person on our list.
on our panel.
Panel?
I can think of a dozen players I would give everybody here for.
Well, yeah. I mean, like you said, basically, you like your road graders. Those are long term projects.
Yep.
Kamal Martin and Jonathan Garvin or Vernon Scott, they're going to be long term products, because they're linebackers. Closing. And I get that,
Rodgers
for the future.
Look, we need to
win.
That's how they've always done it. And guess what? When you're always drafting for the future. Look, people criticize Ted Thompson. We went to a Super Bowl. The future for Rodgers is pretty much gone. Okay, we've had 10 years of not getting to the Super Bowl. When he's gone, what are the odds that we're going to get another quarterback like Rodgers and Favre?
Maybe Mitch Trubisky will be available.
It's just sad.
No, I agree with you 100%, Dave. So, like I said, the point that Diamond Dave and I were going back on is, don't get worried about the draft. Don't hype up the draft. And I think what you're seeing, and we saw it with the Matt Stafford trade, is that these teams don't seem to value their draft picks as much as they used to. They used to hold on to those things like they were diamond rings. Not now. They're like, yeah, whatever. You want our first-round draft pick for the next 3 years for a guy who's a proven commodity and will win games?
Prime,
go ahead, take them.
Prime example, your LA Rams. They don't have a first-round pick for a total of 8 years because they're going aggressively after these guys. This is what, and the reason why I brought this up is everyone knows I'm not a Packer fan that listens to this. This is just a middle finger to Aaron Rodgers because Dobber's favorite wide receiver was there, and they went with Jordan Love. Okay, so you could have – okay.
We would have had to trade up because he won two or three picks.
There were still wide receivers there like Claypool, right, and all those guys. Could have helped out Rodgers get another weapon, and maybe that would have got him over the hump. I don't know. But this prime right here, not one impactful player helped out the Green Bay Packers this year.
Not at all. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Diamond Dave, because I asked Dave here in pre-production, that's what I call it, who does he think is the best drafting team in the NFL? And I said I had my opinion. I thought it would surprise him.
Yeah, it's these two.
You know, so like if you guys had to pick just off the top of your head, who do you think drafts the best in the NFL?
Probably the Chiefs right now.
In terms of the Chiefs are like
Buccaneers getting the most out of it. Well, Buccaneers got a lot of free agents,
but
Evans and Godwin, they were draft picks, and so was, you know, White and then Shaq Barrett. So
Shaq Barrett was a free agent, but was he?
I can't even comment because I don't know the other teams necessarily and their success of the draft over the years. I mean, I could point out who the top players went, you know, each year, but as far as any sort of depth from other teams, I don't know who San Francisco pulled in their fourth round 2 years ago. I couldn't even make a comment on that, if I'm being honest.
See, and maybe that's why it was a little bit easier for me to pick my number one drafting team, because there's somebody that we see twice a year. That's right. My number one drafting team, the team who figures it out every year, Dobber's Minnesota Vikings. I don't think anybody does better in the draft than the Vikings. It is stud after stud after stud with that team every year. Where did it start? Randy Moss, Adrian Peterson, Dalvin Cook.
You're going way back in the day. Reese.
I'm talking about all those big boy linemen they used to draft. What's his name? Kennedy, I think. They got Barr at linebacker. They always seem to have linebackers.
They brought Brock Lesnar into camp.
guys.
Dobber's fired up. We got to wrap the pod up here pretty quick.
These are guys drafted and got it done.
Didn't they draft Christian Ponder?
Yes, that's what I was about to say. Behind every Randy Moss, there's a Christian Ponder.
Well, at least you didn't have this.
So there was a halftime show. I'll try to lower my blood pressure here a little bit. I will say this about the halftime show. All right. Obviously, look, the commercials were blah. I don't think we need to get into the commercials too much on the podcast.
No, not
there was very exciting. You didn't count all the Mountain Dew bottles?
There was a handful of fun commercials. The Norway commercial with Will Smith, obviously.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Would have been better with Will Smith.
No, shut up. The Wayne's World commercial I thought was great because they did a great job with the nostalgia. There was some good commercials that we laughed at.
What were those commercials for? Do you remember? What was the Wayne's World one for?
Wayne's World one was...
Uber Eats.
Oh, okay. Because that's always the big test. You remember the commercial, but do you remember the product?
Right, right. Yeah. But they all replay anyhow. But so we could talk about commercials. Not as much. You know, I did like the Bud Light All-Stars commercial. I thought that was pretty good. Also,
they had the little bottles.
They had the dude from Your Dr. Galloway Glackowitz. Yep.
Yes, I am.
First time in a limo, doctor. So the Bud Light commercial was good. But so the halftime show. And I've gotten to it with a few people today. Actually, don't mind the Weeknd's music. Comes on the radio. I don't mind it.
Most of his stuff.
A lot of his songs are about doing drugs, which a lot of people...
That was a WrestleMania theme.
A lot of people were like, hey, the halftime show from Pepsi's all Weeknd songs.
I thought it was Bad Bunny
again. Doing drugs.
Bugs.
But I liked the Weeknd, but I thought the performance was a little blah. And I hated when he was going... I literally had to look away when he was going through like the mirrors.
And spinning.
I thought that was great.
It made me dizzy. And I can't even... I swear to God, and I don't get like weird motion shit on phones. I had people sending me memes, you know, like, oh, when you get lost at Costco or something, you know? But it made me dizzy. So I thought it was a lackluster performance. I do like The Weeknd. Obviously, from a production standpoint, it seemed like a big production. But it just
seemed worse.
It just didn't seem, and somebody brought up a really good point. It's just, it didn't seem like a very fun halftime show. Like, oh, The Weeknd, he did a good job, but it didn't seem like fun. I can't feel my face when I'm with you is a song about cocaine.
Yeah.
You know, like,
great for the kids.
Yeah. You know,
was that on the Nickelodeon Super Bowl special?
But, instead of slime, you know, and The Weeknd's pretty open about how a lot of his songs, he deals with drug addiction problems, and half the people think it's about his ex, Selena Gomez, and shit like that. Half his songs.
That's right. That's how
but it just
famous.
Wasn't like, it just wasn't that fun to me. And that's the issue I had with it. Do I think it was a terrible performance? No. Do I think The Weeknd's a good artist? Yes. Do I think it was a good halftime show? No, it just wasn't fun. It wasn't like uplifting.
They put a lot of money into the production.
But it wasn't fun. Dobber and I were jamming out to Meatloaf on the way to the gym. I'm like, you could have had Meatloaf come out and sing Anything for Love and Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, full versions.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys.
That would have been lately, enough.
Oh, that's
no. I mean, look, Pepsi. When you know you're starting to get old,
Pepsi. Yeah, and Pepsi.
Bring back Metallica for it. That's what every year
they
every
should
year.
Have.
But you know, somebody brought up a good point. Like, look, Pepsi's got to get young, fresh artists. Mm-hmm. Half the thing is to get people who wouldn't otherwise watch the Super Bowl just to turn it on to watch the halftime show. Like, I don't care about football, but I'm just going to watch the halftime show. Like, that's a big part of the goal. Because look, the people who are watching football, you're probably going to watch the halftime show anyhow. Yeah. So
I muted it.
Somebody made a good argument like, look, the halftime show is not even really for the football fans because they're watching the game anyhow. It's to try to bring new people in. It's Pepsi. They always want the young artists. But look, there's been a lot of fun halftime shows. I thought it was – what did you guys think?
I thought it was better than Paul McCartney or The Who. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And I thought it was better like than McCartney. Super Bowl 31 that had the Blues Brothers 2000.
Quinn?
I muted it because I think the guy's music is trash, but I thought the production value was great if I'm looking at it from a standpoint.
Quinn's like, yeah, I don't know about the music. Production value was great, though.
they threw everything at the production.
Weird analysis. You know?
So I didn't care for the music. Like you said, Dave.
Quinn's watching. Yes, all right.
To your point, it did not seem fun. And I was trying to put my finger on, like, obviously I still had it muted because I was watching stuff on YouTube, the Bad Medicine podcast, during halftime. And I was like, this guy just, it doesn't look like it's being enjoyable. Like, when they used to have the other bands and somebody would come in as a surprise and join them. And it was like, hey, what are you doing here?
The face bandage thing was weird. So what it was is a face bandage. Now, it's this weird controversial thing. Basically, he's been wearing these face bandages, did some video where he had prosthetics, where he looked like he had obnoxious plastic surgery. He has, I'm pretty sure, had some plastic surgery done if you look at older pictures of him. But they weren't wearing jock straps, but you couldn't tell. So people who didn't have any sort of context, that was just weird. And I think it was the overwhelming majority.
Yeah, I could see
I just caught an article on YouTube about, like, of course I saw the pictures like a couple weeks ago, like, wow, that dude chopped up his face bad. And then you're like, oh, no, those are prosthetics for a video. And it was like weird. And then he went to like the VMAs or something with his face strap. People are like, what's going on? And then finally he comes out and says, basically he's calling out Hollywood and saying how wrapped up they are and chopping up their faces and doing all sorts of stuff for superficial validation.
Dude, you look like a lizard.
Which, you know, as a
just be old.
Bill Burr. You want to look like a 17-year-old lizard or just an old human? But that was kind of dark and ominous. Like the whole everybody's got face bandages on, that wasn't fun. It just wasn't fun to me. And there's been a lot of Super Bowls that I didn't think were like super fun, you know, but at least it was a little bit more entertaining.
Paul McCartney, The Who was fun.
Yeah, I didn't like it, but look, I don't know. But so last year we did, you know, we went and we ran down everybody's favorite halftime shows. I think Prince came up, Mine the Old Nelly, Aerosmith, you know, Mary J. Blige, NSYNC, Britney Spears, all doing Walk This Way. It's like, come on. And there's been some really fun, like I said, Prince, Michael Jackson. There's been some great halftime shows. But we thought we would have some fun and go around the table and talk about what were the worst halftime shows we can remember. Because look, the weekend isn't the worst. Andrew, let's start with you.
You heard mine. The Blues Brothers opening up. It was purely to bring up the hype for Blues Brothers 2000, and it had Dan Aykroyd performed instead with Jim Belushi, because obviously, and John Goodman. And that was part of it. But then the show was highlighted by performances by ZZ Top and James Brown. So they it started off like terrible, but they tried to pull
the Godfather
back.
Of Soul and ZZ Top. What more do you want?
All right.
Well, I think when you start, you dug your grave too soon right away.
That's true. That's hard to get out
you're
of.
You're trying to dig up.
Quinn, your worst Super Bowl
ever. Hands down, the Black Eyed Peas for the Packers Super Bowl. They were god awful. They sounded terrible. It was rubbish.
I do remember them getting some really
He's bringing
really
it back,
bad
folks.
Reviews. Dave, I want to cap this one off. We're going to wrap up this week's podcast here, but I'm going to let you go.
Yeah, so I will say almost anything in the 90s minus Michael Jackson, but if I'm going to pinpoint, I do not care for The Who. You want to talk about boring? Boring. The Who.
I remember it was a cold day. I don't remember where I was. All I remember is the day that I saw the announcement that Coldplay was doing the halftime show. When you talk about somebody like The Weeknd, it was not a bad performance. It just wasn't fun. And I like Coldplay. What are they going to play? Like, and I don't hate them as a band. I just don't like their music just isn't stuff that I would listen to because I just don't get into that kind of music. I don't have anything against them personally. And I really, really like the song Fix You. I think it's a great song. Love the song Fix You. But I'm like, I don't want to even hear Fix You at the halftime show because that's kind of like a sad, like, depressing. You know, I'm here for you. Like, I'll fix you. It's a great song. That's, you know,
so coaches are telling their players in the locker room right now.
I have like three different versions of Fix You on my phone in my iTunes. I love the song. So shout out to Coldplay.
Just terrible.
But as a Super Bowl halftime show, it was just, I was just like, this couldn't be more like blah, you know, and somebody's like, oh, when was the last time they had a good show? I don't know. Bruno Mars a few years ago was pretty good. Look, I was like,
oh, is that the one they were in New Jersey and they didn't bring John Bon Jovi in?
Yes. Well, you know, and Dauber, even a couple years ago, Dauber and I were at Fifth Quarter in Little Shoot, and they're like, Katy Perry is going to be the halftime show. I'm like, I don't love Katy Perry, but she's fun. And then she rode out on that giant fucking animatronic fucking tiger or whatever. And I was like, holy shit, this is the best thing ever. And then everybody's doing memes with Voltron and shit.
Well, it's because of the shark, too.
Yeah, the shark that dancing. Was off. There wasn't the kid with the original kid to do the flossing was up there or some shit.
Hey, don't Missy Elliott. So Bruno Mars did play with Coldplay.
Oh, that was with Coldplay?
Yeah. Oh, they tried to save it.
Together?
Yeah, with Beyonce as well.
Yeah, because then Bruno did
it was,
like 2 years
It was so bad, you completely blocked out Beyonce.
Bruno in 2014 with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh,
was good.
Okay. Yeah, because Bruno did it 2 years in a row.
Bruno
Coldplay
with the
brought
peppers.
Out Bruno.
There we go.
Like, Bruno was a surprise.
Yeah, the Black Eyed Peas. Scroll up here a little
please
bit.
Please come on, do your...
So
he's like Black Eyed Peas.
J-Lo and Shakira last year actually wasn't bad, but of course all the Karens everywhere got all upset because it was over sexualized. Katy Perry, Bruno, 13 with Beyonce.
Just told me not to sexualize.
2012. Are you shaking your ass in my 2012 face? With Madonna, I thought was terrible. Black Eyed Peas was bad. The Who was meh. Bruce Springsteen, I absolutely love Bruce Springsteen. Don't bring up politics because whatever, he's still the boss. Tom Petty in 2008, I thought was really good.
Yep.
2007, solid. Prince, obviously crazy. 2006, The Stones.
Gotta love the Rolling Stones.
The best part about the Prince one is
McCartney. I like Paul McCartney, but I don't think it was the greatest show. 2004, Janet, Kid Rock, P. Diddy, Nelly, and JT, obviously.
What happened there?
2003, Shania, No Doubt, and Sting. No, that's
your favorite coming up. Oh, 2002, your favorite.
I don't like U2, but look, when Bono busted out the jacket like that, to me, like I was like, okay, that was pretty cool. But I do not like U2. 01, of course, was insane. Nelly, Britney.
Ignore the 90s, dude. It's
that I mean, the 90s was like, what are these Super Bowls? You know, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom featuring Tony Bennett, Patti LaBelle. I mean, they did some weird stuff in the 90s.
They were trying to find themselves.
Than Michael Jackson. But yeah, they used to have just different themes. So I would say, you know, about every other year or so, a lot of people complain that every year the Super Bowl halftime show sucks, but about every other year they've done good. Look, last year, J-Lo and Shakira was good last year. And I mean,
well, not musically.
J-Lo, but you have to judge whether it's the music, the performance, the overall. Lady Gaga was a little bit weird with the jumping out of the stands thing. So many good memes.
She disappeared.
They came out of that.
She disappeared and Peyton Manning was like, where'd she go? I can't find her.
I don't know. Like, had they taken the weekend and given him like a bunch of, somebody brought up a good point. They're like, if they had given him some dancers and stuff and put on like a little bit more of a showy show, like you would expect with Bruno Mars,
or give him somebody fun,
not like all the face bandage people that nobody knew what that reference was. It was very dark and ominous. It looked kind of creepy. I was like, what is this weird shit? So
that's what happens when you have a bunch of 20 somethings doing the Super Bowl halftime show. And they're like, what do you mean? Everybody doesn't listen to this music? No, like 15% of people listen to that music.
I don't even think it's that because Quinn, like we've had this discussion, like there's bigger bands as far as
but three of the four on the dais knew who he was.
Everybody. If they're trying to get everybody. Yeah. Quinn, the guy who doesn't have social media, who's The Weeknd? Like, hey. I like his music.
Do you know who he was before last night?
Oh, Dauber's not much of a Weeknd fan.
I thought maybe he was dating Russell Wilson's lady.
By the way, Russell Wilson, that clip of him in the booth, he was high as shit.
I thought he was just pissed his woman was trying to jump to Roger Goodell. Like, oh, I'm done with you.
You could see his eyes were like,
hey, Rog.
Like, holy shit.
To get some football. I'm not judging. There.
It was just funny that they did that. It was like, remember the one year where they showed up and who was it? Candace Cameron. Not Candace Cameron. What's her name?
Cameron Diaz. That was a Packers Super Bowl.
She's like, Joe
Buck was like, oh, there's A-Rod and Cameron. And I'm sure he's appreciated us showing that on the camera.
But all right, good Super Bowl talk, guys. I appreciate everybody listening to my short version of my rant. Maybe you'll get the long version someday. Call me.
Subscribe to our Patreon to get the long rant of the Appleton Oaks rant.
I don't think you have enough memory on your phone.
I'll give it to you. Good. The good stuff.
All right. So then for Diamond Dave DeMone, Appleton Oak, man of 1,045 poses. He missed a few.
I forgot a few. Yep. He did. He's gone for a while.
Mason Quinn, I am, of course, the answer. Good night now.
Good night. Give me two. Could you imagine that stadium just rocking?